Hello, I'm Justin Oldham, and you're listening to an ATS member podcast supported by AboveTopSecret.com. And for the benefit of those very persuasive computers over at the Department of Homeland Security, which may be scanning this file, I'd like to say that this digital recording was made on Friday, August 10th of 2007. I'd like to welcome you all to experimental podcast number 3 of my review and comment on the news for the week. For the next 10 minutes, I'll be commenting on events which took place between Monday, August 5th, and Friday, August 10th of 2007. If you like what you hear, grab that keyboard and log in to AboveTopSecret.com and say your piece. If the positive feedback continues, I'll start a separate podcasting thread, and I'll begin posting my weekend review sessions there. You're currently finding this in the thread marked Introducing Justin Oldham, which doesn't make it obvious, and I understand that some of you have had a hard time finding these weekend review sessions, so I will, if public support demands it, I'll definitely move it to a much more correctly labeled forum. Americans began the week learning about the Carver Creek mine disaster in Utah. For those of you who don't know, a coal mine in central Utah collapsed, trapping 6 miners. As I make this recording, those 6 miners have been underground for the better part of 5 days. And those unfortunate coal miners are not the only people who are in the dark. A recent report issued by the U.S. Government Accounting Office has revealed that the Pentagon and associated agencies have kind of sort of accidentally maybe lost track of 190,000 weapons and pieces of body armor which were shipped to Iraq and then they promptly vanished. Conspiracy theorists from several different schools of thought have been busy posting their opinions on AboveTopSecret.com, and they're easy to find, easy to read. One school of thought suggests that these weapons and armor have actually been siphoned off to outfit a private mercenary army, which is currently taking shape in Iraq under the guise of those well-paid defense contractors from outfits like Blackwater, Kellogg, Brown & Root, and Halliburton. Others have said that all that stuff was just stolen by the insurgents when nobody was looking. I was glad to see that this subject was so thoroughly discussed, even though it got very little attention in the mainstream media. ATS members were also quite observant when President Bush accidentally suggested that U.S. forces might enter Pakistan without consulting the Musharraf government. ATS members have expressed several different points of view on this matter, and I'd like to point out that as I make this recording, that discussion is still going fast and furious, so if you want to participate or if you want to know more, log in to AboveTopSecret.com. I myself think that President Bush was just floating a trial balloon. He was sending a very clear and unambiguous diplomatic signal to General Musharraf that he'd better get things in order with his people, because if he doesn't stay on the ball, we might just have to do it for him. While we were being saturated with mining disaster coverage, the Democrats were busy in the House and the Senate introducing resolutions to censure the President, the Vice President, and the Attorney General. Much to my surprise, I haven't seen very much about that on ATS, but I'm sure that our astute membership will pick up on this eventually. Of course, now, then again, the Democrats also held a nationally televised, union-sponsored debate, which got very little coverage from anybody, including myself. I took the time out of my day to sit down on the couch and watch the whole thing very patiently, and it was boring, to say the very least. The middle of the week, however, was not boring at all. As a matter of fact, it was very exciting. American and international stock markets began their downhill slide because of the credit crunch. Here in the United States, American Mortgage Inc., which is a major supplier of subprime home lending options, they declared bankruptcy. Now, this was not a surprise. We've all seen this coming for the last week, but it's actually here. It's happened. It's yet one more harbinger of the coming economic downturn that so many above top secret members have been predicting for at least 2 years now. And just in case you think that nobody's paying attention to the American economic situation, I'd like to point out, as did several very observant ATS members, that a low-ranking member of the Chinese government speculated on Wednesday that it might be possible for them to dump their dollar supply as a sort of a nuclear option to retaliate against U.S. trade policy. As you know, we've had several problems with the Chinese lately relating to lead in children's toys, tainted consumer products, nasty stuff in your food, all that kind of stuff that nobody really likes. Ruins your day. At least 8 very large shipments of trade goods have been turned back, and the Chinese are quite cranky about that. If you're not up to speed on this and you'd like to learn more about the U.S.-Chinese trade conflict, I suggest that you go to AboveTopSecret.com and have yourself read. I'm pleased to report that there was actually some good news out there. On the same day that New York City was having itself a bath, thanks to some extremely heavy rain, down in Florida, Space Shuttle Endeavour successfully lifted. STS mission number 119 is in the record books, and more importantly, we have closure on a very important issue. As some of you may recall, back in 1986, we tried to send a teacher in space aboard Challenger, and it exploded shortly after takeoff, killing everyone aboard. I'm pleased to report that Krista McAuliffe's backup, Barbara Morgan, is now a fully trained astronaut. She's retired from the teaching profession now, but she went up on this most recent shuttle mission, and she's fulfilling that teacher in space mandate. If you'd like to know what America's very first teacher in space is going to be up to, please go to spaceshuttle.org. Or break out your favorite search engine and type in Barbara Morgan Astronaut. As I make this recording, we are ending the work week on some very shaky economic news. In an effort to lessen the current credit disaster, the United States government on Thursday pumped $24 billion into the American stock market. On Friday, they have pumped in an additional $35 billion. When you turn on the TV, the reporters are going to say that the Fed is attempting to add liquidity. What that actually means is that the United States government is putting cash on the table so the strapped mortgage companies and the jeopardized hedge funds will get easy loans real fast. Now, you don't have to be a conspiracy theorist to know that what they're actually trying to do here is the mortgage companies are trying to refinance their bad debts, and the hedge funds are trying to avoid defaulting on their profits. Now, this is all good money after bad, if you ask me, but I'm not an economist. As you would expect, there's some very intelligent discussions going on ATS right now, and I certainly do encourage you to get involved. If nothing else, you should lurk and read. Many of us who swim in the alternative news puddle have known for quite some time that this economic downturn was in our future. You don't have to be a Republican or a Democrat to see where this is headed. All I can suggest to my fellow Americans is that we pay our debts and that we live inside our means. Our government and our corporations may be financially stupid, but it doesn't have to rub off on us. I myself am of the opinion that the corporations have taken the gamble, they're facing the loss with open eyes, and the expectation that the American taxpayer, through the mechanism of the federal government, is going to bail them out. GM Chrysler got bailed out in the 1980s, the airline industry got bailed out shortly after 9/11, and I really do believe that the banking industry is expecting the same treatment. We're witnessing the biggest ripoff of all time, and that is no conspiracy.